Praise be to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The actual physical crown of King Henry IV is lost. We just don't know where it is. We don't even know what it looks like. Probably beautiful, probably was very expensive, but a piece of jewelry it was, and that's all it will ever be. The true worth of that crown was not just in the material or the craftsmanship. It wasn't that that defined the value and worth of that crown. Where we find its real value is really in the authority that that crown represented. Now, he was born a prince, King Henry, and he rose to the throne without any conflict, without any challenge. And when he was about 19, he became king. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. He knew he could achieve more. He knew he deserved more. And so, when the current king of France was assassinated, he saw that as an opportunity to extend his reach. It was an opportunity to extend the power of his crown. And this one, though, would be a lot harder to achieve. But he did do it. He eventually did claim that crown. He eventually was recognized as the King of France. But it would take civil war, and it would take many other struggles for him to claim that. But he did accomplish it. He eventually did ascend. He did wear that crown. And he wore it proudly. He wore it proudly for about 20 years before he was assassinated. See, that crown brought him power, but it also brought him death. I started and I told you that the physical crown is lost. We don't know what it looks like, but we know what it represents. You see, I bring that up again because I have a crown. You have a crown. They may look different. They may have different stones of different sizes. They may have those pearls of doubt. And they may have those rubies of authority and power. Those differences don't really matter when we compare our crowns. What matters is that our crowns represent the same thing. That's sin. Yours and mine. And even more than that, what they represent is what they lead us to. Our crowns, your crown and my crown, lead us to death. Just like King Henry, the crown that we build and that we place on our heads leads us to death. But the message tonight is this. Jesus takes our crown. He takes our crown of sin and our crown that leads to death. And He exchanges it for His crown of forgiveness. His crown that leads to everlasting life. Now tonight our gospel recounts one moment of torture of Jesus. And at this point in the passage, He has already been whipped with pieces of bone, with metal balls. He was whipped almost to death. He would have been in complete agony. Every part of His body would have been pained. And in verse 16, we read, "The soldiers led Him away inside the palace," that is the governor's headquarters, "and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed Him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on Him. And they began to salute Him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking His head with a reed and spitting on Him and kneeling down in homage to Him." There's a lot going on in this portion of Scripture. There's a couple of details. If you're not careful, you may miss. The first one is the battalion. The whole battalion was assembled. That could have been 200. It could have been 400 Roman soldiers all coming together for one goal. That was to mock, to humiliate, and to beat this man who called himself God. We look in the world today. We look out in our community and in our state, in our country and in the world, and we see similarities. The world still rejects our King. It still mocks Him. And it still mocks us, those who worship Him. But the blame can't be placed wholly on the world. And it can't be placed wholly on unbelievers. Because even believers make up part of this group. How often do we mock Him in our own daily lives? How often do we robe Him in a royal cloak on a Sunday morning just to take it off so we can watch that football game? How often do we attach expectations to Him as we worship? How often do we bow down, but only if it doesn't consume too much of our time or too much of our resources? You see, we may not have been part of that group 2,000 years ago, but we are part of it today. Verse 17 continues, "And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on Him." See, Scripture records that the soldiers placed this physical crown on His head, a crown that they used to mock Him. As king. That crown denied his true authority. That crown was physical. But every person throughout time places a crown on him as well. It's not a crown of thorns. It's a crown of sin. Remember King Henry? His crown was beautiful. It's a crown of authority over two kingdoms. It's a crown that ruled armies and ruled nations. It was a crown that ruled wealth. It was a crown that dripped with power. But when he placed it on the head of Christ, it became a crown of sin. And it dripped with God's own blood. And the crowns that we wear, the crowns of self-honor, the crowns that we hold in beauty over all the world, become crowns of sin that pierce at the very head of our true King. But that's why Jesus was there that night. That's why he didn't call down his army of angels. That's why he stood silent and he allowed the soldiers to crown him. He was there to take the sins. He was there to take their sins. And the sins of King Henry, he was there to take your sins and he was there to take mine. And he was there to take your crown and to place it on his own head, even the crowns of those who denied and didn't believe in him. How beautiful that is. How comforting that is. Jesus took our crown, even when we mocked him. Jesus took our crown. And the last verse in this passage is probably the most beautiful. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak. And they put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. You see, after they had clothed him in the royal robe, and after they mocked him as a false king, they removed that cloak. They removed that cloak because they rejected the title, but they kept that crown on his head. And that was a crown, your crown, my crown, stayed on his head all the way to the cross. And there on that hill, where Jesus, our King, was crucified, he wore our crown of sin. He wore our crown that would lead us to our own death. He wore that upon his head. And when God the Father turned his back, and when he suffered our punishment, Jesus continued to wear that crown. And he wore it when he gave up his spirit. And it was there that our crown led to his death. That crown, it should have been on our head. That death, it should have been our death. But he wore it for us And He died for us. And here's the thing. That crown, our crown, disappeared that day. It became lost. It became gone. It's nowhere to be found. Our crown of sin does not exist. On Easter morning, when He rose from the dead, a new crown was created. It was a crown of eternal life and salvation, a crown that defeated death. And it's a crown from a real king, a crown of honor and glory. And it's a crown of life that God promises to those who love Him. It's a crown of forgiveness. It's a crown of love. It's a crown of adoption into His royal family. You see that? Jesus earned His crown through death and resurrection. And He took our crown and He traded it. Can there be any greater, more loving King? Would you please pray with me? Lord, You are the one true King, our Lord and our Savior. Your royal blood that You shed has made it possible for us to be adopted into Your kingdom, into Your family. Lord, we praise and worship You for Your mercy and love. And we ask that Your crown of life, the crown that we now wear, shines brightly into the world today. May the jewels of Your love draw people to Your grace and into Your loving arms. May we bring to all the message of the true and powerful King. In Your name we pray. Amen.